Grant Matthews, Bleacher Report. I know you're a very happy guy, my man. I know you don't want to rub it in my face, but Cody Rhodes is now the new Universal Heavyweight Champion, dethroning my tribal chief, Roman Reigns, on Sunday night in the main event of WrestleMania 40, the biggest WrestleMania of all time. That's what they're calling it. Listen, I think it's... You know what? I think it's your time to gloat, your time to celebrate, no longer me talking. How do you feel about Cody Rhodes finally finishing the story at WrestleMania 40?
Listen, Randy, before I go further, I don't know if we confirm this before we hit record here. Were you there for night two? I know you were there for night one. Were you there night two or no?
I was there for night one. I'm going to tell you. Fact, and I know you were there too for night one. It was fucking brick outside.
Yes, it was.
Night one was crazy, but I got a chance to see The Rock, and I'm gonna talk about that later. But just seeing him and, you know, obviously Roman, Cody, Seth, Jade debut, Bianca, Trinity, who else was on? Becky, Rhea, the Uso. So I really enjoyed night one of WrestleMania. But night two, I did not go to. And that's where you were there, press box and all, watching your man Cody dethrone Roman Reigns. But talk about it, man. How do you feel as a fan, as just someone who covers the sport? And what are you looking most forward to in his first title reign going forward?
Yeah, man, it was great. I'm not going to sit here and say I told you so because, you know, I was very skeptical they would
do it. You could.
But here's the thing. I'm not going to lie to you because I told you going into this moment, into this pay-per-view, into this match, that I wasn't 100% sure that wrong. All I told you is that I think Cody should have won. He was my prediction to win, but he was my prediction. I mean, everyone we talked to that we kind of pulled on, I would say, that we spoke to in the media room at WWE World, I think was kind of on my side that Cody should have won that match. So I don't know. I think he might have been the minority there. But, you know, Roman has his fair share of supporters. I love Roman Reigns in the bloodline, but Cody Rhodes really needed to win. It was exactly what needed to happen. And I would say it made for the greatest WrestleMania main event of all time, to be perfectly honest with you. I thought the match was great. All the interference and the shenanigans surrounding the match were great. They executed it perfectly. I thought they did a really, really good job with it. The overall match was great. The video packages were awesome. The entrances were were just excellent. Even the aftermath with Cody Rhodes celebrating with his family and his wife, other baby faces who were wronged by the bloodline. Really fucking cool shit. I thought that was really, really well done. Loved that. Thought it was a really nice touch. Triple H out there as well. Couldn't see that live. As soon as the match ended, I had to run to the press conference thing. So I didn't catch it as it happened. I had to catch it after the fact, but yeah, man, it was great. I can't say enough positive things about that main event. And the overall show was a lot of fun, but I thought they capped it off perfectly well. I mean, again, people calling it, I guess literally was the biggest WrestleMania of all time, as far as the money they made from the show and the people they had there between the two nights and whatever. But, I don't know about best. I wouldn't even put it in my top five probably, but it was a very good show overall. And that main event I would say we could talk about it, but I think it is the greatest WrestleMania main event of all time.
Well, listen, I'll start here. One, I felt you did a great job in the press conference afterwards.
Thank you, boss.
You asked Damian a question. I'm not sure who else, but I know when you're talking, I know whenever they give you the microphone, it's going to be a nice, precise question that we all want to have an answer to. Who else did you ask besides Damian?
So I got Damian a night two. Obviously, the new world heavyweight champion. That was cool. I think I asked him the second or third question or whatever it was. On night one, we got Rhea Ripley first. And I had a feeling because I asked Bayley a question when she first – when she won the Rumble back at the Royal Rumble and she was the first guest, I tend to get the first people that are out there for the most part. And it's not even that's just a coincidence. Damian was the first person out there for night two. So that was kind of surprising a little bit, but Rhea Ripley, I assumed I would get her. I did. And she was cool. I also got The Rock on night one, which was just like,
that's what it was. Yes. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, that was fucking cool. I said to someone after the fact, I said, you don't need to invite me to any more of these. I'm done. That's the peak of it. That's all I wanted, to be honest with you. Something that you didn't really think was possible until it happened. So I saw some of your shots of The Rock, among other people, obviously did incredible photos and video work over the weekend that we'll get into. But
thank you.
Yeah, man, he was awesome. And he gave a lot of, not just to me, but everyone that asked the question. He was there for a while. I mean, he didn't even have to attend. He could have just taken his jet and gone the fuck home, but he showed up.
That's right.
He did his thing. He probably will never do another one of these again. And he answered every question seemingly honestly, very, intricately, and spent his time locking eyes with the person that was talking, including myself, and gave a lot of well-worded and well thought out answers. So I thought that was awesome. Easily one of the best parts of the weekend. But it was, the whole thing was great. From night one to night two, those little experiences in between and everything else. It was a great weekend indeed.
So, you know, obviously people are going to say the greatest or the best WrestleMania, you know, obviously it's two nights now. But just going over some of the accolades. So it is the most streamed show, whatever, on Peacock.
Mm-hmm.
So that's number one. I think NFL got some work cut out for them for next year when they show some games. So Peacock, 1.3 million streams or minutes, hours, something like that on Peacock. So WrestleMania, obviously two nights, was a big part of that. The most viewed WrestleMania ever, the most social WrestleMania ever, the biggest WrestleMania Raw and SmackDown gates ever. I was at SmackDown on Friday.
Oh, okay.
Not at Raw on Monday.
Oh, yeah, you were. We talked about that, yeah.
And it's the highest WrestleMania merchandise sales ever. So obviously there's other accolades, but you know, WrestleMania 40, you know, really a big time event. You got The Rock, you got Roman, you got Cody, a lot of big time names and great storylines going in there. And I think when it was over, you know, it's always like, it's like when a hip hop album comes out and you download it in a half hour, everybody's like, oh, it's a classic. You know, it's kind of like we're in the norm. Like, you gotta calm down, gotta relax. Where do I put WrestleMania 40? I don't know. I don't know as of right now. Could it be top 10? I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But I would really have to go through, because everybody would say, oh, it's the greatest. It's better than 17 and 19 and 31. Like, hey. Main event portion, I would say, you know, building that storyline up for over a year and a half, going back to 39. And even when Cody won the Rumble back last year. You kind of knew this is where they were going to go, and you implement The Rock for 4 months, which made everybody, even the casuals, want to come back and watch because they wanted to see what he was going to do. And to be honest, he looked very good in the ring on Saturday. Not like, you know, he shouldn't be out there. He looks old. Rock does not look old at all. Like,
no.
You know, look a little old John Cena compared to the
No, seriously. And Rock looked great
compared
in there
to The Rock.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so then you add the shenanigans of John Cena, of The Undertaker. You're mixing the current era with the Ruthless Aggression era, with the Attitude era. And I get people want a Stone Cold, and I want a Stone Cold. Stone Cold is my favorite of all time. But I think that the way it was laid out, timing-wise, if Stone Cold would have came out in the main event, that means the glass breaks. He's got to walk down that long ass ramp. He's got to go on the ropes and do his whole shtick, stun The Rock, and then walk out. And that would have taken 5 minutes. I mean, and I think they were like, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
But hold up. I think with Taker, the gong went off. It went dark. He got in. He stared. He chokeslammed. Gong went off. Light went off. He was out. You could say a minute and a half, Taker was out there.
Yeah, no, I think, well, we got what you're saying as far as like him coming down and stuff. If that were to happen with Stone Cold, we got that with The Rock, and The Rock took his sweet ass time. Stone True. Cold would have gone a little bit quicker, would have not been in there staring down like with Cena and Rock. It was great. Don't get me wrong. The whole thing was amazing.
Yeah.
But I don't think it would have suffered from the same issue though. I think Stone Cold would have briskly walked down to the ring, immediately hit a stunner. Maybe they could have done like the, oh, like we look back and forth shit. Hit him with a stunner and then just walked away. The Taker thing, he had to do what he did because the guy could barely walk at this point, let alone down that fucking ramp. That was, you know, very well done. That was the only nitpick I had about the match was the fact that Stone Cold was not there. And, I mean, you would know this, Randy. Stone Cold and Rock obviously have way more history than Rock and Taker. Rock and Taker have fucking nothing to do with each other. It was more the idea of Taker being there and it being cool than it did having to do with anything making sense. Now, you can also make the argument, oh, Stone Cold has no history with the Bloodline either. No, he doesn't. But it was more about thwarting the interference from The Rock and Triple H and obviously Stone Cold, or not Triple H, I'm sorry, Stone Cold and Rock is the most iconic rivalry in WWE, one of the most iconic rivalries in WWE, even WrestleMania history as well, probably the number one feud. So I don't know what happened. It's been a couple days since the show. We still don't know what happened. I don't know. I heard he got sick. Maybe he didn't want to do it. Maybe that, I'm sure they asked him. I'm sure that spot was meant for Stone Cold Steve Austin. I can almost guarantee it. I don't know why they did what they did, but what they did, what they did was still great. I don't want to complain, but I'm just, I was like, I really wanted to hear that Clash yet, or because people were expecting it. Triple H putting up a tweet, you know, about the match at 316 earlier that day, got a lot of people talking. Didn't happen. It's still an amazing match and moment nonetheless.
Yeah, it was a lot of weird 316 stuff going on because Seth Rollins was champion for 316 days. Roman Reigns was champion. Yeah, that's. Look it up. The graphic went out. Seth Rollins was 316 days as champion.
Wow.
And then Roman Reigns was 1,316 days as champion. Triple H put out a tweet at 3:16 p.m. It was like, what the fuck is going on? And I trust me, I get your point. I would have preferred Stone Cold because it just, if there's anybody out there that could take The Rock down, it would be Stone Cold. But if you want to add a storyline twist to it, Taker has had history with that Samoan family. I get it. With Yoko, with Umaga, with Rikishi, The Rock, like and Roman Reigns, I get it. But like you said, not to nitpick, but I think an overall great experience that included nostalgia the way it should be. And it didn't overshadow Roman. It didn't overshadow Cody. Like, they did the thing and they got out.
Yeah.
And then it was about Cody after that and the 1-2-3. And there's a video where they show Cody pinning Roman. I don't know if it was on purpose or Roman would just knock the fuck out. But it looked like he was kind of smiling at the fact that he was getting pinned 1-2-3. Maybe, we don't know, but maybe he just like, this was as much of a feel good moment for him and Cody as well. Like, he's finally letting go. Now it's your turn. Take the title reign away from me. I go on my vacation and I come back stronger than ever. You see Roman, he's mourning one day. He's back at the gym and he's coming back, Graham, for another 1,300 title reign. I promise you that.
God, I hope not. No, I am excited to see where they go now, man. I mean, it is worth saying now. I mean, he got a thank you Roman chant on Monday's Raw when he wasn't even there. Cody acknowledged them, pun intended, during his promo. But I think it's worth saying here that Roman Reigns, throughout his entire run, for all the faults that I had with like him not showing up enough and when they should have ended it, I think they ended it perfectly. And that was really my whole concern for the past 2 years was like, will they actually stick the landing with this run? For as great as it is, it will also be remembered for how it's going to end. Because Roman has not been pinned in almost 5 years one-on-one. He got pinned by Jey Uso last summer in a tag team match, but that was it. So it all really came down to this. They chose the right guy to beat him and pass the torch to whatever. The match was great. It was at WrestleMania. Everything about it was fucking perfect. But I think it's also worth saying as well that Roman Reigns will go down as one of the greatest world champions in this company's history. In my opinion, for WWE anyway, I think he has the greatest championship run of all time, to be honest with you, at least world championship run. Not only, he held it for 4 years. Yeah, like, cool. That's obviously a big part of it. But the man's story from the get-go was just perfectly told. I mean, there's so many different like chapters, too, from Roman's gradual heel turn early on, the stuff with Jey Uso and kind of getting him in the bloodline, getting Jimmy Uso in the bloodline the following year in 2021, the whole Paul Heyman arc with him and Brock Lesnar. I mean, that was a very underrated story, I thought, from SummerSlam in 2021 to SummerSlam in 2022. That was a very well-done story on SmackDown. It breathed new life into SmackDown and made that a must-see show on Fox for almost 4 years. Getting Sami Zayn in the bloodline was the best thing that could have happened to that group. Getting the Usos as the undisputed WWE Tag Team Champions was great. The kind of crumbling of the bloodline with the Usos leaving. Jimmy Uso rejoining was stupid, but, you know, they got Solo Sikoa in there. He was a great addition. And then the final collapse of the bloodline at WrestleMania this year with Roman Reigns losing the championship. So again, and getting The Rock in there as well, right before Mania earlier this year. So,
yeah,
man, everything about that story, and it's not even over either, but as far as his championship run was fantastic, because you can name a lot of great runs that were had some good matches or had some length to them. This really had it all, because he was champion for 4 years. The storytelling was immaculate, probably some of the strongest storytelling in WWE history, if not the best storytelling of all time, over the course of a four-year period. But the matches themselves, some were better than others, obviously, but there were some real fucking gems in that feud. I mean, and in that title run, that we could talk about all that. We could do a whole separate show on Roman's run and how it will live down, or go down, rather, in my opinion, is probably the greatest world championship run in WWE history.
And I think before we move on, I think the fact that if people want to say Roman is the greatest, or he's a Mount Rushmore, he's a top five, you can't even argue with that, because I think for me, when you're a champion, it's about what you do and how you elevate one, yourself, others, and the company as a whole. So again, I'm not saying Roman is Mount Rushmore right now, but if you say, hey, what's his case? So if you go back to Hogan, he really took that. He took it from what it was into global mainstream in the 80s. And then you get your other nice moving pieces. Then you get the Stone Cold, where the company at that time was floundering. Where you had a new generation era. The numbers were going down, and Hogan left. Macho, the main golden era type guys, and Stone Cold, I would say majority Stone Cold, brought that shit up to a whole new level. Like, people hate to hear it. Attitude Era. Yeah, I'm gonna mention the fucking Attitude Era, because it's still up there as far as the greatest eras of all time. And you can't deny it. The numbers are there. You can't deny it. Then little drop of the internet, Rufus. Okay, now comes John Cena. John takes it to a whole different level. Like, oh, this is like in a mix of the Ortons and the Batistas and the Brock Lesnar. Like, oh shit, John Cena is lifting up this company to new heights. Mm-hmm. Then you have your little whatever, and Roman Reigns in the pandemic, 19 and 20, where it's like, damn, no fans in the arena. How do we turn this into a positive once the fans come back into the arenas? And that man grabbed the ball, him and Paul Heyman, with the initiation of the Bloodline storyline, and have really captivated what you watch on TV every fucking week and me for 4 years. Like, Stone Cold never had a belt 4 years. All John Cena, all The Rock, all the top guys, that guy held the shit for 4 years, and within 4 years, got himself over, as you mentioned, got other people involved to be at least a mid-card star or a top star. And it's like, damn, now I can let the title go. And, bro, the card is stacked. The roster is crazy. Uh-huh. Anybody could be world champion right now because of Roman Reigns.
No, he was very much instrumental in the kind of resurgence, the renaissance is the word they're now using, of the popularity of WWE and pro wrestling as a whole. Not the sole reason, but I mean, Triple H being back in charge and stuff like that. He really carried this era in a lot of ways. I mean, there's a lot of people right now that are over that can be world champion tomorrow, like you said. You know, you also got to acknowledge the negatives as well. Obviously, the Bloodline stuff was so dominant that a lot of people suffered from it, in the sense that if he wasn't in the middle of a run that needed to end in the most perfect way possible with him losing at Mania, I mean, I could probably name you five different people that could have and should have been world champion during this time that were not going to be because of Roman's run and how it needed to end and how long it needed to go on for. Cody Rhodes, thankfully, they got right. The McIntyre one also bothered me at the time a little bit, but I was fine with it because I'm thinking, you know, he's already been world champion. He'll get his moment some other time. He obviously did at WrestleMania this year before losing it. But like Sami Zayn, people are still upset. He did not win at Elimination Chamber last year. And I still think he can be world champion now that we have two titles. That was a moment they missed out on. LA Knight probably would have been world champion by now. He was so fucking over. I mean, he's still very over, but again, he still could be. But he was lightning in a bottle, and they had him, and they could have put the world championship on him last year, and they didn't. There's a few other people I can name from over the years as well, Jey Uso being another one. But they just couldn't quite do that until they found the perfect possible person, and that was Cody Rhodes, because it was very – they only one shot to get this right, and I thought they did. But yeah, man, I mean, if you want to put Roman Reigns in the Mount Rushmore, I get it. I wouldn't go there quite yet. You know, cheap plug, but BR did the whole top 50 wrestlers shit. I think I put Roman like 11 or something like that. He wasn't even my top 10. That's not a slight on him. That's just because WWE is some of the greatest of all time. But he could still climb up that list. I mean, his work, specifically out of the ring, even in the ring, he's had some amazing matches. But like the promos and the character development, WWE needs to do more of that sort of stuff with everyone on the roster, at least a lot of their top players, and not just give him the sole creative freedom. We could have gotten this Roman Reigns 5-10 years ago, but they just chose to wait until the pandemic to do it. Better late than never, and it resulted in some of the greatest TV this company's ever produced.
So what's the over under? What's the earliest you think we'll see Roman back on TV? Because obviously, you know, there could be a SummerSlam. They talk about maybe Survivor Series, maybe to the Rumble. We don't know how long he's going to be away, because right now he's away. The Rock is going away, and I assume Seth Rollins is going away for a hot minute. So he's been banged up. So those three guys, your main event stars, are going to be off TV. But I think just because of what we mentioned with Roman, that they can, I think to a degree, afford to take those three off TV for a little bit, because you have Cody, you have new stars with Damian Priest, new world champion. You got CM Punk coming back from injury. You got Drew McIntyre. You got Jey Uso. You got Randy Orton that can hold the fort down until these guys come back. But like your earliest time frame for Roman to come back is when?
I'm thinking SummerSlam time, because you can't have him come back before Cody and Rock happens, because Roman already said, or Rock already said, I want, not next, but like you and I is going to happen at some point. And he said it's going to...
The rumor is 41 for Cody and Rock. That's the rumor. Cody and Rock for 41. I don't know if they'll wait that long, but...
Yeah. Listen, man, I know that came from Meltzer. That was the rumor where it came from, and he is very hit or miss these days. So I'm not going to put a lot of stock in that. That is something worth considering. No fucking thanks, man. I know Rock is currently filming a movie. He did say he was going away. He can't wait an entire year. I mean, it's the Roman Reigns effect, where you're just killing off the entire roster until you get to the next person. That's fine for a couple of months. You're going to have Cody out there and kill the rest of the roster for an entire year. Why? Rock and Roman, I know we talked about it previously and how you would have booked in whatever. Cody's champion now. There is no reason to wait until WrestleMania fucking 42 to do Rock and Roman Reigns. Rock might get more busy. Anything can happen at that point. I would not do that. I would just do Rock and Roman next year. I would not wait 2 years to do that match. And that's a WrestleMania match. I know I said Elimination Chamber, you know, a couple months ago for that match, but different circumstances. At this point, if Rock and Roman's going to happen, and it will, you don't do that match at any other pay-per-view but Mania. Cody and Rock, to me, is a SummerSlam match, but every pay-per-view now for them feels like a big deal. So if they wanted to do it at like Bash in Berlin or something, I'd be okay with that. It won't happen before then, though, because it sounds like, again, Rock's doing a movie through early August. So that takes him off of Backlash. It takes him off King and Queen of the Ring. It takes him off Money in the Bank. It takes him off Clash of the Castle. And it might take him off SummerSlam. But I'm going to say SummerSlam season. And then maybe Roman inadvertently costs Rock the championship, or it comes out afterward. I don't know. But I think we'll see Roman Reigns again around that point. If they want to hold off even longer, that's totally fine with me too. Because Roman has been, you know, he's not a full timer, but he's been champion for so long that if he gets an extended break, I feel like that's perfectly acceptable as well.
So you said Roman Reigns SummerSlam timeframe, but I assume he'll be a good guy when he comes back. That pop will be crazy for Roman, which obviously Hunter does say. We hear the fans. So if the initial idea is to keep Roman as a bad guy when he comes back, but they cheer the fuck out of him, and if you potentially go with him and The Rock, that could probably mean Roman's a good guy and Rock is a bad guy. So is that what you might feel that might happen when Roman comes back, but he's now the good guy instead?
I think that's the ultimate end game. I don't know if we get that when he comes back. I think he will be cheered when he comes back. You're right about that, because people were cheering him anyway. I think that's the destination they're headed to, and I think that's the destination they should head to. I think the ultimate end game here is to turn Roman Reigns babyface. Not like, oh, believe in the Shield, Roman Reigns. Not that bullshit, but like doing what he's doing now with a tweak as a babyface. Again, not going out there and kissing babies and shit, but, you know, just embracing the positivity by having Rock or whoever kick him out of the bloodline. I just think that's the natural next step, and I'm looking forward to it. So whenever it is, like you said, SummerSlam, Rumble, Survivor Series, whatever. I think that's where we're going with this. And Rock will be a heel. Roman beats him as a babyface. And we go on from there. I mean, maybe they can have a couple matches. Maybe Rock wins the match and then they build to a second match. I don't know. But I think the ultimate destination here is Roman Reigns going babyface. And I think that's by that point, he will have been a heel for 5 years. So it's and he's an amazing heel, obviously. Yeah. Doing this sort of character as a babyface is only inevitable.
What was your overall take on The Rock and his this new reiteration of The Rock, the final boss? He got in January. You know, obviously he wanted him and Roman in the spot, got denied.
Yeah.
Turn heel, social media this, cursing, this and that, beating up Cody Rhodes on Raw. You know, the sellout crowds everywhere he went. Then obviously getting in the ring on WrestleMania Saturday look really good. Like, not saying, oh, I'm going to put the belt on him tomorrow, but you can kind of see, all right, maybe he can hold the title one more time before it runs out. But what was your overall, you know, take on The Rock coming back since January?
It's been great, man. I mean, my biggest worry was how he was going to fare in the ring, to be perfectly honest with you. I mean, the return itself, I was looking forward to regardless, but I wasn't looking forward to a Rock and Roman match at this point with the current dynamic, or at least with Rock as a babyface, because the shit that he was doing when he came back in like September or whatever was fucking lame. A lot of that shit was lame. So when he turned heel, it was great. They pivoted for the right reasons. They gave us what we wanted. Like, it's easier to talk about now that we know where they went with it. It would be hard to say, like, if Cody didn't win, I don't know what I would have talked to you about, but Rock knew what was best for business. Triple H knew what was best for business. They put over Cody Rhodes. Rock beat Cody on night one, but that was the right outcome, though, to set up a match for a rematch, to set up the need for a rematch down the road, which we will get at some point, like we talked about. So he's had a really good run. And in the ring, he looked really good. It was like a 45-minute match. Never really felt like it flew by. It was fun. The second half, the first part did drag a bit, but in the second half, they picked it up. Fun final few minutes, not even final few minutes, but like the final stretch was really, really good. I thought it was really well done. The entrance itself was iconic. And he's really aided a lot to this storyline with Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns, which is great to see. He's been a lot more giving than he was during his first run, or last run rather, from like 2011 to 2013, when they never really made him look weak. A lot of the promos ran the same. And I enjoyed that run too. But a lot of that shit kind of was similar with each other. And you know, the first Rock and Cena match I really liked. The Punk matches I liked. The last Cena match sucked. A lot of what we really haven't seen a whole lot of him since then. So it's been cool to get him back. He's been doing his, you know, he's known his role, pun intended, and he's played it exceptionally well. He's been a heel, knocking it out of the park, and he's not a one-trick pony either, because we've talked about, again, play-by-play here, week-by-week. Is he just going to do the same heel shtick from 20 years ago, 25 years ago? He's not. He's played up a very different final boss version of himself with some aspects of Hollywood Rock mixed in, theme song and all. They've really fucking killed it. And I got to give him a lot of credit for putting in the work and also showing up, man. He has shown up way more than Roman Reigns has, and Roman Reigns was the champion. He has shown up on several Raws, SmackDowns, even the fucking Hall of Fame, both nights of Mania. Got to give him a lot of credit, because it would have been very easy for him to show up once or twice on the road to WrestleMania and have that be it. But he has really put in the work and has made WWE TV even far more enjoyable than it was in even previously prior to that point.
So what other aspects from WrestleMania kind of caught your eye? Obviously, Bayley's new champion. Drew was champion for like a hot minute, and then now Damian Priest cashed in on him.
Yep.
He's now a new World Heavyweight Champion. We see Jade debut at WrestleMania. Jay beat Jimmy. I think that was the worst match of the whole thing.
I'm glad you agree. That shit was
major. I told you. I texted you, night. Yo, bro, that was... I don't know what that was. I felt like...
acting like he was drunk.
Jimmy was in there like, I don't know what was going on. He looked tired. It was cold. He wanted to get the fuck out of there.
Everyone was cold. I don't know.
Yo, bro. Listen, Philly was fucking brick on
Saturday. It was, bro. Man. But, I mean, there were some good matches in night one. That shit was not... That was easily the worst match in the entire... It's not even close. Of both nights of Mania, that was easily by far... Even worse than the six-woman's tag match, which wasn't bad, but, like, there wasn't anything special about it. That was worse than that. I mean, it was like that's it. Like, again, I talked to you before this, like they've been building this up for a long time. Listen, especially after that match, I'm glad Jay won. I know you were talking and other people said, my prediction was Jimmy winning. I'm glad he did not. Cause if that was the match that we got, I don't need a rematch. I'm done with this shit. I very much fear that they might do Jay and Damian for the world title on Raw coming up. And Jimmy, I mean, dude, if Jimmy cost them the World Heavyweight Championship.
Oh, imagine.
He's done it like six times. They've had him cost the championship fucking fight. Like, it's so lazy. It's so lazy. Yeah. Like, just move on. Feud's over. Finished. The match sucked. Let's please move on and move. Put Jimmy over here. Have him move up. And put back Jimmy in the lower mid card. The guy is just not that special. I like Jimmy a lot. He plays his role great.
Yeah.
In the ring, he's mid as fuck. That's just a fact. I'm sorry.
Rhea retained. We got new tag champions, Miz and R-Truth on the Raw side and Waller and Theory on the SmackDown side.
Yeah.
And we got a brand new Intercontinental Champion in Sami Zayn, dethroning Gunther 666 days. Wow, what a number for Gunther as IC champion. So Sami Zayn, back-to-back years, has dethroned the longest reigning tag champions and the longest reigning IC champion of back-to-back manias. Logan Paul did retain the U.S. title, but what did you make of the Sami Zayn-Gunther match? And was Sami the guy to really defeat Gunther? And now what? Gunther goes to the World Heavyweight Championship kind of aspect, and Sami Zayn does what for the Intercontinental Championship?
I didn't love that. The match I thought was great. Mm-hmm. I didn't love Sami Zayn winning the championship. It was a great moment. I still think it should have been Chad Gable. Whatever. That's in the past now. There's a lot of cool ways they can kind of follow up on this, though, with Gable turning heel. Again, don't love it, but it gets him in the picture. Whatever. They're doing Sami and Gable next week in Montreal. Gable, I think there's a chance he could win. He could steal the title and like
you never know.
Turn heel. It's definitely possible. Sami really does not need a long run. Gunther just had a fucking 600-day run, 800-day run, whatever it was. It's 666, actually, which is crazy. Sami can have a short run. He's already been a three-time champion, whatever. Give the belt to Gable, turn him heel, whatever. Gunther can move on. I didn't love that outcome. I thought the match was great. And Gunther is on to bigger and better things. And I have no doubt that Sami and Gable will have a very fun feud over the Intercontinental Championship if it continues beyond Monday, which I hope it will.
Yeah. I do have one question going back to Roman. I thought about it earlier. And I did tell you many months ago that, you know, if this was, and I we kept mentioning Hogan's record. And I really think that was a Vince McMahon thing. He wanted to break Hogan's record. And because last year he was the main guy for WrestleMania 39. That's why Roman went over Cody.
Yeah.
I think if Hunter was the guy back then, Cody would have won the fucking match. But now Hunter's the main guy, Cody goes over. So, and I think, you know, Vince was always a big Roman fan. He kept pushing. You could say he was right because Roman did become that guy.
Yeah.
But there was a time you could like, yeah, come on, I want to go. I don't want him. Yep. But you're forcing it.
Uh-huh.
My question is, do you think that if Vince was still at the helm today, that Roman would have won over Cody back to back years at WrestleMania?
Yeah, I do actually. Well, no, I do and I don't. If Vince was still in charge, they wouldn't have pivoted, I don't think. So we don't even get that. I can't even say that Roman would have beat Cody twice. I can't say that because I don't think they would have done the match. I think they would have done Rock and Roman, and God forbid if Rock won. That would have been incredibly fucking dumb. I think they would have just kept the belt on Roman. I don't know if they maybe they would have put the belt on Cody at some point because that was the story that Cody will finish his story, but just not this year. Maybe that was a – I really do think – I know they say they pivoted, but – Maybe that they're saying that on purpose to get for us to give them credit. No, I honestly do think they pivoted. I really do not think it was the plan.
Yeah.
It made no fucking sense. It was really dumb what they did originally to have Cody win the Rumble and then have him backtrack. Like it just made him look stupid too. They still never really explained that. I don't even think they would have done it. I don't know what you would have done with Cody. He probably would have faced Drew, which would have been a good match, but that's still kind of a waste of Cody. So, yeah, they probably would have just said, hey, we're sticking with the plan. Fuck you. I mean, Vince has pivoted before. We saw it with Mania 30, obviously. It's not the first time they've done that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they were, but it's like, it was one of those things. I think a better example is this. We got Cody and Roman last year. And with Daniel Bryan, they pivoted. They gave him the belt. The following year, I think people forget about this. Bryan got tossed out of the Rumble in 2015. Again, the first show that you and I ever did a review for, I tweeted about that. It was in Philly, yeah. Full circle, whatever. But Bryan lost the Rumble, and they did not pivot again. People thought they would pivot and put him in the main event with Brock and Roman because it's like people really wanted Bryan in that spot because it made sense. They said, no, fuck that. We gave you what you wanted last year. We're sticking with Brock and Roman. They didn't pivot 2 years in a row. They only pivoted once. Yeah. I don't think they would have pivoted here. I really don't. I think that Vince, we were fortunate, I guess, to a certain extent. They pivoted once with, you know, Cody last year. I don't think they would have done it again if Vince was still in charge. Vince or Triple H, thankfully, has a different mindset on it, as does Rock. Yeah. So I applaud them for that.